Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keith. You're on WEEI. Thank you so much for being here. 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday. And Fitzy, the story are the boos from Saturday. And I want to go to the Karen Garigian article at masslive.com, where I'm quoting from the article. For the most part, the players have openly supported Mayo following the blowout loss. Several even chastised fans for the fire Mayo chants. Quote, with all respect to Patriot Nation, they're a little spoiled. We don't appreciate the boos. We don't appreciate the outburst against Mayo. Patriots captain Dietrich Wise said, if you're a fan, be a fan with us, thick and thin. You know what I said to that, Fitzy? Good for Dietrich Wise and those players, because it's them against the world at this point.
Yeah, and the rest of the world wants them to know that what they're seeing on a regular basis, as great as it was so long ago, it isn't so long ago anymore. It's the now, and that's all we can live in. That's all we can control, KJ. And the now is a disaster. It is a mess at every operational and organizational level. And when I think about the response from the fans on Saturday, mind you, I was at the game. I was at the majority of the game. And I would like to relay
these
little notes. Well, I mean, I have my working for the Pats. I have my game day operational work, being the Joker on the Jumbotron. But once I finish up all my giveaways and Jolly Jester of Gillette routine, you know, I like to take in the game. And I was on pregame, not postgame. I can relay the following. Number one, I have never been able to get in and out of Gillette Stadium faster. I didn't tap my brakes once on the way in. I didn't tap my brakes once on the way out. Number two, if that place had 60,000 fans in it, then my name is Vincent Brisby. Holy smokes. It was a sea of blue, white, and red, and those were the empty seats. And three, the fan unrest was palpable. Like, people weren't even interested in the game. They were just watching to make sure to see if Drake May could throw him a touchdown, give him something to hoot and holler about, and or make sure that he didn't get hurt. But I almost felt like people were openly rooting for the Chargers to deliver the death knell to the season, and people like myself,
or to Gerard Mayo, be honest.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. No. If we're being square,
that's what they're really cheering for.
To the coaching structure. Yes. And it was such a sad feeling. It was to see where we once were. This is where I will tie it to the past. To see where things once were, and within a half decade's time, to have it falter to this level where you have fans, the ones that were still left, who were very well lubed up. I know Phil Perry wrote that he had never had such an easy access to the concession stand or freely on the concourse in his life. Man, KJ, it was sad on every level, and now the fans have lost their way.
You know what you're describing? A spoiled experience. Maybe Dietrich Wise isn't wrong. What? Name me another franchise in probably the last 70 years of sports, and obviously someone's going to be researched, that had a 20-year dominance and then had a gap of years when they win a stack of championships, a gap of 7 years, and then win another stack of championships, meaning that in that gap, you most likely had to beat the Patriots to get to winning those different Colts, those different teams that were able to win Super Bowls. You still had to go through the Patriots somehow. So there's never been in the history of really organized sports, maybe the Celtics come the closest to it, but the Celtics, you really say their domination ends after about 17, 18 years from, let's say, 60 to about 77.
Yep.
But you're talking 22 years. So there are going to be painful years. John Lyons and I, we've been on, we've talked about, like, if you're a certain age, you've never known a bad Patriots team, you would have to talk to someone over 40 to know what a bad Patriots team looks like. That is spoiled. I'm sorry, like, bad times do happen. This just happened to be those times. I didn't think it was going to happen with Mac Jones because it's very hard to replace the legend, right? You can't be the guy after the guy and expect all these great things to happen. Drake May is probably a bit of the answer that you feel better about the quarterback play moving forward. But other things still go on with the franchise that aren't easy to deal with.
Yeah, correct. And listen, I've been around rooting for and watching football long enough to remember the days when the fans, much like the games on TV, were blacked out, okay? I used to sit in traffic on Route 1 just so I could watch the Oilers beat the Patriots 45-3. I'm there. I took my kids. It was my kids' first home game, both of my sons, 11 and 7 years old on Saturday. And my 7-year-old said, "Daddy, why would the Patriots do this to me on my first game? Why are they playing like this?"
Are you lying on your child? Did they do it with a single tear coming down their face, Fitzy?
No, actually, they did it with joy in their heart because a team sponsor was kind enough.
And
to
And Jimmy Stewart play. See, it's a wonderful miracle of Christmas season.
And come I on, kept man. Saying to them, "No man who has fans is a failure in life."
Come on.
So I got my kids on the Jumbotrons Saturday as well. So they had a sublime experience. They had a grand old time.
Yeah.
But I explained to them both. I said, "Listen, the flavor in life is really on the bottom, and most importantly, you can't appreciate how good you have it on the top or how great it is to be among the elite, to really just like experience joy. You need to know a little suffering at first." So I did the same with many Patriots games, 1986 with the Sox and all that jazz growing up. So I relished every single second of the Patriots double dynastic run, KJ, including the desert of 10 years between Super Bowl 39 and Super Bowl 49.
Correct.
Yes. There's a reason why people started calling Boston at first title town again and then entitled town, because we got so wonderfully spoiled. I think right now fans would be able to handle this second rebuild in the post-Brady era if it seemed like the right people and had the right message and there wasn't organizational interference, some levels of incompetence, and utter dysfunction, which to me is perfectly epitomized by the whole, like, Antonio Gibson's going to be starting today. 30 minutes later, there's Ramondre with the first carry of the game. Gerard!
Yeah, but if Antonio Gibson tells you after the game that he was never told he was starting, then that is a conversation that stays amongst players. Like, I could care less. If I'm the organization, I could care less about your damn parlay or your over-under or what. I could care less about that. If the conversation I'm having in the locker room states what I'm going to do, and if it's different than what I tell, watch this, the media, not a court of law, the media, I, as part of the media, have no problem with it because I understand there is a player-coach locker room dynamic that's going to be given what we're fed. Look, should I be talking against my own profession? No, but am I going to be honest with you when I sit here and tell you, like, I did not lose any sleep saying, "Wait, how come Antonio Gibson's not in there and Ramondre Stevenson is?" Ramondre Stevenson is still on the roster and not on the injury report. So that's something, if it's the injury report and you lie, guess what? The league come and gets you for that. So it's not lying about an injury. It's just not, I don't have to put, at any time Gerard Mayo has spoken to the station, to the media, have you ever seen him put a hand on the Bible before he started speaking?
No, he has not raised the other one and said, I'm speaking under oath. No.
Yeah, so the guy's not going to jail. Nobody's taking him to court. There's no.
Brady used to tell us, KJ, pardon my interruption, but Brady used to tell, but didn't he tell us on that bar, on that the show, The Shop, that 90% of what he used to say when he was addressing the public or just in general as quarterback of the Patriots was a lie?
Yeah, so why is it any different for Mayo? Who cares? Okay, look, let's make room because Hunter Henry's going to be here in about 6 minutes at 10:15. KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Get your calls in, get your texts. We'll get to those as well. But right now, it's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Patriots are back at practice today following Saturday's abysmal loss to the Chargers to start preparing for their last game of the season Sunday against Buffalo. The Bills already locked up the number 2 seed in the AFC with a win over the Jets yesterday. Some relatively good news, though, from yesterday's slate. Thanks to a Giants win over the Colts, the Pats currently own the top overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. A loss to the Bills will clinch that spot. Regardless of results, they are locked into the top 5. Also from yesterday in the NFL, the Commanders rallied in overtime to beat the Falcons 30-24 and clinch their first playoff berth since 2020. The Vikings set up a winner gets the number 1 seed in the NFC with the Lions next week, thanks to a 27-25 win over the Green Bay Packers. And the Buccaneers put themselves in the driver's seat for the NFC South title with a 48-14 win over the Panthers. Week 17 wraps up with the aforementioned Detroit Lions taking on the 49ers on Monday Night Football. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. The Celtics fell to the Pacers at home last night. 123-114 is your final score. Indiana shot 53% from the field and outscored the Seas 66-48 in the paint. All 5 starters for Indy scored in double figures, led by Tyrese Halliburton, who had 31. Jaylen Brown also had 31 to lead Boston. The Seas will welcome the Toronto Raptors to TD Garden tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. The Bruins also get back to action tomorrow in D.C. against the Washington Capitals at 7. They have sent back down Fabian Lysell to AHL Providence. And bowl season in college football continues with the Transperfect Music City Bowl from Nashville between Iowa and Missouri. The college football playoff resumes tomorrow with a quarterfinal matchup in the Fiesta Bowl between Penn State and Boise State. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Maloney did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. Let's jump right into it. Patriots Monday with Hunter Henry is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Let's get to Patriots, one of the captains of the team. Hunter Henry, thank you so much for joining us here on WEEI.
Sunday. Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Hunter. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Listen, you know, you guys got off to a fast start the week previously in Buffalo, got off to a 14-0 lead. I know it didn't work out ultimately in the end, but it was a good game, and it felt like maybe with that effort you guys had turned the corner towards the end of the season. So how do you explain the slow start on Saturday and ultimately the lopsided result?
I mean, we just didn't come out ready to play at all. You got to give credit to them, too. I mean, they came out ready to play. I mean, that's a good football team. And we just, you know, lifeless effort, not good enough at all on any front or anybody. And, yeah, I feel like we've just been saying the same message in a lot of ways, and we got to find a way to, you know, change that result, and it's just bad football.
Hunter, I've always said that the best friend of a rookie quarterback is a really good tight end, and I think that's been kind of the story since you've been here. It's you got here when Mac was early in his development, and now Drake is a rookie now. Because of Drake's dependent, because you've been able to be a dependent source for Drake, do you feel like the Chargers specifically targeted you? Did you see additional coverage on you to try and take away that comfort level for Drake Saturday?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it was just a interesting game. I mean, just how the game started, the game, how the game flowed. Sometimes, you know, football just ends up like that. I mean, you know, we had a couple 3-and-outs, and then, you know, things just didn't go our way. And then we kind of got behind the eight ball, and then you start playing like 2-minute ball and trying to go no huddle a little bit more. And it just, the game changes a little bit. So I wouldn't say necessarily that, but you also got to give credit. I mean, like I said, I got to give credit to the Chargers too. I mean, their defense is really well coached, and they played really well, and they were ready to go.
Hunter, there were some comments that made the rounds over the weekend from your defensive teammate Keon White about frustrations on the defensive side of the ball that seemed to have ruffled some feathers, and Coach Mayo addressed them earlier today. Is there any palpable dissent or frustration in the locker room right now because of the way the season has gone, and is there a similar feeling on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, of course, we're all frustrated. Why would we not be frustrated? We don't come into this profession to put out what we've put out this year. None of us wanted that. None of us wanted to be where we're at right now, but we are, and we've done that to ourselves. Everybody in the locker room, coaches, players, everybody. So, obviously everybody's frustrated, and people express that in different ways.
Talking with Hunter Henry here, Patriots Money on WEEI. Hunter, the last couple of weeks, Buffalo did it a lot. You saw it a couple of times effectively from the Chargers. How frustrating is not being able to cover the zero blitz from everybody across the line?
Well, I mean, zero is a tough blitz sometimes, especially, they're bringing everybody, so you got to be able to block it up. Now it exposes things on the back end, but I feel like we've had a different plan. It's just a good plan in a lot of ways. We just haven't been able to execute it.
So a lot, Hunter, was made, obviously. I was there at the game on Saturday as well, and it was the environment got a little awkward because fans were frustrated. They started booing. There were some unfortunate chants lobbed towards the Patriots sideline as well. Did you hear? I know a lot of your teammates have addressed it, like Dietrich Wise, Devon Godshow, et cetera. Did those resonate with you? And how do you feel about that? With the fans expressing their frustration?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I never want to hear that. Never want to, that to happen in our stadium at all. But you know, we got to play better. That's a simple fact. I mean, we've got to play better to warrant all that in a different way. I mean, that's what I'm focused on. We got to change things in a way so that is not happening.
All right, Hunter Henry, one more before we let you go. I know you're pressed for time. How can I best put this? I'm trying to say the words the correct way without saying them incorrect. Mike Nwengu was on the program on Thursday and said, look, the locker room is solid. Everybody's behind the coaching. Does it feel like it's an us versus the fan base situation between what's in the locker room and what's being fed through the media and what the fans are giving back? Does it feel like there's kind of like all we got is us in the locker room right now?
I don't think it's that at all. I still think there's a lot of support out there. Obviously it was bad on Sunday and you heard what you heard, but I still think there's a lot of support, and I really appreciate the support from the people that are continuing to back us. I wouldn't say that.
Hunter, just one last one here for me as well. I'm going to be square. Obviously, you signed a 3-year extension in the offseason. You've said many times before how much you like it in the area. Obviously, you wouldn't have just taken the deal for the hell of it. There's a lot of work that needs to get done on the Patriots in every capacity right now. So you, a consummate professional, are veteran in the league. Are you prepared for the rigors of a potentially extended rebuild in New England?
I'm ready for whatever.
All right.
So I'm just, I'm going to be locked in on what I got to do this offseason. I mean, that's what I'm focused on right now, and just trying to get better myself, and so that I can be better for the team.
All right. Thank you, Hunter Henry, for being here with KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe. Have a great weekend, and best of luck coming up against the Bills.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah. Hunter, our interview with Hunter Henry brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Patriots. Well, the 5 number we won't get to in wins. But that's very interesting because it's, Fitzy, you hear, like my psychology major minor tells me, like, listen to the energy. The words can possibly be standard. It just sounds very frustrated. Hunter Henry sounds very frustrated.
Yeah.
Short. Like when I was told, like, you got 5 minutes, I was like, wow. By the time we get this question to it, it'll be 2.5 like, minutes.
Woo! 5 minutes are going to feel awkward. Yeah, man. Like, KJ.
Stay tuned for Devon Godchild coming up. Well, that may be interesting. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, I'm sure Devon got. I mean, in a lot of ways, I hope first and foremost,
yeah.
As you know, whenever Jones and Keefe are manning the midday mantle, on Mondays during the Patriots season, they have Christian Gonzalez, not necessarily the most forthcoming gentleman on the microphone or with his in-game evaluations and thoughts.
Not say that I'm disappointed that Christian Gonzalez has the day off from those two.
I think
what's kind of fascinating with everything going on is, like, usually when people are filling in over the holiday, it's like, hey, have your best of the years ready. Like, hell no. Did you see what happened yesterday? So it's, look, from our business perspective, this is what you call being in the ish, if you will. But at the same time, it's very tough. And I understand for the fan base, but I get back to what we talked about in the first break is, when you've known something, if you're 30 years old, you have never known the Patriots to be a losing team until the last couple of years. If you're 30 years old, in terms of actualization, because we can't say the day you're born, you know exactly what you're watching. You know the importance of why they double-teamed Terry Glenn in a particular game. You're not old enough to know that. So let's say the age of actualization is like 7 or 8. So you had to have been born around 93 before then to really have experienced what a bad Patriots team was. Like, how crazy. 93 is 31 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how time has flown, and to think in terms of yearly context, how you would have to go back and figure when somebody had to endure misery, suffering, etc. You'd have to go back even a little further, the tail end of the Raymond Berry years, which led to his dismissal, which brought about the McPherson era, and then subsequently the Rod Rust era before Parcells takes over, and they go 5-11 in his first year. But at least at the end of that first year, and this is where this year could have mirrored that last significant rebuild, KJ, but sadly it hasn't. Because the Patriots' final four games with rookie quarterback Drew Bledsoe and rookie head coach for the Patriots, obviously not league-wise, Bill Parcells, they won the last four games. So they built a massive amount of momentum, like a freight train of excitement was built into the offseason. They sold season tickets. People couldn't wait. The next year they go 10-6, make to the playoffs. Now the exact opposite is happening, where the Patriots, coming out of the bye for their final four, two of the first three games have been horror shows, as it's Devon Godshow called the last 3 years here in New England. And we'll ask him about that at 11.
All right, so let's get to some callers here, because I know they probably want to get their things off their chest. It's Patriots Monday, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line, KJ and Fitzy, in for Jones and Keith. Let's go to Ryan calling long distance. I think he had to hit the +9 to dial to get to us. Ryan, thanks so much for calling WEEI, and happy holidays.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, KJ, I don't really know where you're coming from in terms of agreeing that, like, the fans are spoiled. I don't know. My thing is, should we just accept being bad and be cheerleaders?
No, that it just happens. I'm not saying agree or disagree. Just understand these things do happen. I mean, would you rather be the Bills the last 3 to 5 years, or the Bills the previous 25 years? Which one would you rather be?
No, and I get that. But
okay, then you know where I'm coming from.
No, sure, but I don't think it's spoiled to ask for, like, a competitive product. Like, I don't think we're asking for them to win the Super Bowl next year. I just want to see a team that's competitive. And I do think the booing in a lot of ways is justified. And the players just need to realize, like, we're not booing them as people. We're booing the organization as a whole, and primarily ownership. Like, this has been a disaster for years. And, you know, as Patriots fans, we've booed Tom Brady when they decide not to play for a score at the end of the first half against Kansas City a few years ago. So we boo everyone, you know.
So, Ryan, let me ask you real quick before I let you go. Have the Patriots been known to spend money in the great years?
I mean,
you know, my teacher said if maybe also means no. Okay, so if they didn't spend in the great years, would you expect them to spend in the lean years?
Well, no, and I think that's why we're frustrated, because now it's going poorly, and we're sort of realizing, like, all we had was Tom and Bill. Like, and Kraft wants to be so big of a part of it, but, like, it seems like, to me, the Kraft family, like, they're not doing as much as maybe they want to tell us that they are.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Kenny, also calling long distance from the old Southern Commonwealth of Virginia. Kenny, happy holidays, and thanks for calling WEEI and Patriots Monday.
Hi, the false narrative here. I'm calling from Richmond, Rhode Island, guys.
Okay.
I'm a longtime listener of you guys, especially Fitzy on Saturdays. I always appreciate your candor, and you try to be fair. But what makes me laugh are these fans. They don't want to pay their dues now. The dues are due. We have had it so good around here, and everybody expects, well, it's football season. Let's get everything going. Everybody's ratings are going to go down. Television shows aren't going to be watched. It's just we have to pay the price. And to hear these people say, take shots at the crafts and the owner, not and the coaches and what have you, it's ridiculous. The effort is still there. I remember when I used to go to the old stadium, and we had a temporary seat so you wouldn't freeze your butt off. And now we've got, obviously, it's been refurbished, but we're complaining about a refurbished stadium. We've got nothing else to complain about. So now that the team sucks, sorry, people, there's no choice in the matter. We're just going to have to sit back and wait until they turn it around. Thanks a lot, guys, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Kenny. And that is probably the best name that a human being can be given is Kenny. Because that is mine. You know, Kenny means handsome one.
It does?
Yeah, that's what the K and KJ stands for, is Kenny.
I was kind of on top of that. I had no idea.
Oh, what language is that? Kenny, you know, I'm handsome. Yeah, that's what it means. It's Gaelic. It means handsome one. So very few Kennys can carry that mantle.
So then, what does Fitzy mean in Gaelic?
I don't know. I think that's just, isn't that abbreviated for Fitzgerald?
Right. Okay, well, I'll have you know that since my proper given first name is Nicholas, and I'm Irish and Greek, I'll have to find what the Gaelic derivation
means. So bearer of gifts and suntan lotion?
The name Nicholas is a male name of Greek origin that means victory of the people. See? That, and I am a man and a fan of the people.
So calling you a Patriots homer is really just calling you Nicholas.
That's exactly correct.
It's Patriots Monday. KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe. Let's go to Sam in Maine. Thanks for calling, and happy holidays from WEEI.
Hey, happy holidays. Well, ignoring the fact that Mayo looks like a sad meme on the sideline, for any of the people that are wondering, does he look like a sad meme? I don't.
No, I can't even.
I guess if you live your life on your phone, then maybe that's how you relate. Sure.
Sam, I got to say, the memes that have come out of this year are just, it's brutal. So, like, social media was rough last year with Mr. Kraft and the puffy coat and everything. But this year, Gerard just, he does. And it's, I don't think he realizes it.
You know what it is, Fitzy. When it comes to someone like Gerard Mayo, someone's going to pull extra steak sauce on the meanness when it comes to the memes. That's just how it is. Some things tend to leak out of the boat, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So what's up, Sam?
Well, I'd love to see him just yell at somebody. But when
Why does he need to yell at somebody? Because the narrative would be, see, the guy's out of control. He can't control his team and everything. Okay, go ahead, Sam. I just had to throw it in.
Well, just right. I want him to look like he wants to win. But when you evaluate any coach at any level.
Looks like.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can't help it. But when you evaluate any coach, any sport, any level, you have to ask yourself, what is that team good at because of him or her, and where have they gotten better throughout the season? And I can't tell you what the Patriots are good at or where, other than Drake May himself.
Well, then you just
answered
it.
Only because he's playing. But that's only because he's playing. If we would have started him from day one, I think the play would have been constant of where he is now.
Wait, Sam, what did Gerard Mayo say out of training camp? What did he say? He said that Drake May was the better quarterback after camp, correct? Out of the preseason, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And probably did not play him because maybe Alex Van Pelt believed that Jacoby Brissett was more ready for an NFL game. But Gerard Mayo told you from the beginning that Drake May is the better quarterback since day one. So could that not be the one thing that Mayo has done well, is identify that Drake May was the better quarterback at the very beginning and maybe listen to his coordinator and saying, okay, Jacoby is your guy. You guys were together in Cleveland. He knows your system. We'll roll with that until we know that you're ready to roll out Drake May. So did Gerard Mayo do well by putting Drake May in there earlier than I thought?
If knowing who your best player is makes you be a pro coach, then I could coach the Celtics because I'd play Tatum and Brown, in case you're wondering.
You want to try it?
So that's all he's good at.
I mean, you could try it, and then we'll see the results. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like we live on one side of the fence in this thing, and they live on another side of a fence of this thing as well. Sam, thanks for the call. I mean, we'd love to chat with you all day. Because
I was going to say, if this wants to be KJ, Fitzy, and Sam for the next hour,
But you know why it can't be? Because Sam has not gone through the extensive legal training that we have to do every year. How long are those kiosks that we have to sit at for
the training module? Three hours on how to be a proper 45. You got the 45-minute version. I got the 3-hour one on what to say and who to behave around.
The one I think we have to do every 2 years, right? So before Sam could do that, sit through the module. And by the way, you can't skip. You have to wait for the timer to go through the 30 seconds.
It's the worst.
So there you go. So, like, I mean, look, if it sounds so easy to do, then that means, damn, those guys are really good at what they're doing.
Steve, you know what that feels like, KJ? I got to say, like, the clock that makes us, that reminds us, like, nope, you can't fast forward during your corporate training module and all of your HR symposiums. Right. That feels like when it's in the middle of the third, and it's 30-7 Chargers, and you're like, can we hit the fast forward button on this one? I just want to get on Route 1 and get home.
But see, that's spoiled, because for me, I would say, you know what? How much did I pay for this ticket? I look forward to spending
$40 on StubHub Saturday.
That's okay, because someone who originally bought that ticket paid full price. That's why you say his stadium's half empty. You know who's really sad about the half empty stadium? The reseller. Not the seller. The reseller's upset. And do I have any sympathy for the reseller? No. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, thanks for calling KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keefe. You're on WEEI.
There's about a $60 penalty for the crafts for a person that does not show up at the stadium. I don't know what the attendance was. Only the NFL official book only gave me the paid attendance. So every 10,000 people cost the Patriots about $600,000. But
wow,
just keep that in your head. They got a $600,000 penalty. But they spent $225 million on the stadium. Real property. They own the stadium. Now the stadium put money. They could have spent $50 million more on the team, on payroll. To you, remember, we're on the other side of the fence. That's like saying, I'll remodel my house or I'll go on
It doesn't cost $230 million to remodel your house, nor is your house used on days off by other people using public facilities. Come on, Steve.
I thought you'd be more intelligent than this. No, you're not listening to me. It's like you at home either remodeling your home or spending the money to go on vacation. You make the choice. If I remodel my home, I have some value in my home. I go on vacation, what have I got?
Or you could have a divorced wife and kids saying that you never took them on vacation because all you cared about was the damn shingles.
So the point of the matter is they will spend money where they deem spending money and where they think the best money is interest in their money. But keep in mind, if they spend $50 million extra on payroll in Massachusetts, that's going to cost them $25 million more payroll tax. So that's literally $75 million more. So people say, well, they're getting penalized by missing all these people at the end of the game. It's peanuts compared to them spending 50 or 75 more million. They lose 2 or 3 million in no jokes. In the end,
could we have done just geometry or basic math?
I know this is a little confusing for talk radio, but 2 or 3 million versus 75 million, I think you guys can figure out. Without too much, you go into a kiosk that they keep it to 75 mil, and they're going to lose 2 or 3 in no shows.
Steve, maybe thanks for the math TED talk. We've got to go.
Oh my god! I mean, just
he, you know what? In fairness, he just needed a chalkboard. That's all. Yeah. I mean,
sorry, radio doesn't come with a dry erase board to prove your point.
If I had the chalkboard, I would have been with you. But I guess if I'm trying to discern between the nuggets, if you will, can I use it? The word salad. Look, if you think that was
a salad at a really sad steakhouse, if that, it was a word salad.
Right, that was just an all-you-can-eat salad. Look, honestly, you cannot say that what they're going to do for facilities and so forth and everything like that just apply to the football team, right? A soccer team plays there. You have concerts there. You're going to you own the parking lot.
That's where they really print the money these days, by the way, KJ. The Coldplay, Metallica, Taylor Swift,
yes,
Kenny Chesney.
Yeah. Right, where there's nobody getting tackled or there might be an ambulance there for a girl who's had too much Jaeger before, not because of a broken leg. You know, do they have an X-ray machine there for concerts? Like, there are so many other things it operates as a full business, And football is part of it. It's the one we're most passionate about. But I'm just trying to put one in the mind of what an owner may think about why they invest over here versus over there. Did I need a chalkboard for that?
No, and the world's largest Jumbotron, where my, you know, discount modern family looking face appears on the regular at all the home games.
Yeah,
that's some. You got to make sure you tighten things up.
It's the fifth time you've mentioned this in 40 minutes. But yes,
the 8K you get broadcast in is pretty surreal. But that was built to improve the stadium, but to also attract the World Cup and other things that are not necessarily of immediate Patriot matters. So when the product on the field for people that are just laser focused, diehard Foxborough faithful Patriots fans, when that suffers, they in turn say, oh, you can't spend the money on this left tackle or this wide receiver, but you spent the money to make sure we got a World Cup game or two in 2026. So there's, you know, people believe the organization isn't being forthright and transparent with them about things. What if just how
Wait,
about this?
The man
what?
Not telling you everything they were doing? The man?
A, they don't have to. And B, sometimes it is a combination of, yes, rebuilds do take a long time, and or, not the TV show, but and or, you know, hey, maybe, just maybe, sometimes people make the wrong decisions. So you have to live with those consequences. And that's where we are. And that's one of the reasons why the growing din of dissent is getting now to the point where it's deafening, KJ.
All right, it's KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keith, WEEI. We still have Davin Godshaw still to come. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get to your calls from Brandon, Adam, and your text as well. 617-779-7937. KJ and Fitzy, WEEI. Happy holidays.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keith with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
The environment got a little awkward because fans were frustrated. They started booing. There were some unfortunate chants lobbed towards the Patriots sideline as well. Did those resonate with you? And how do you feel about that, with the fans expressing their frustration?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I never want to hear that. Never want to, you know, that to happen in our stadium at all. But you know, we got to play better. That's a simple fact. I mean, we've got to play better to, you know, warrant all that in a different way. I mean, that's what I'm focused on. We got to change things in a way so that is not happening.
KJ and Fitzy in for Jones and Keith. Controversies happening all around. Should the fans be able to be mad? Players don't want to hear it. That was Hunter Henry about 20 minutes ago on Patriots Monday joining us, Fitzy and I. If you missed any of it, the Odyssey app is free. You can rewind this portion of the show. AUDACY, type in WEEI, click it, and then you can play the earlier chapters. Remember, Davin Godshaw coming up shortly after 11. Let's go to Brandon in North Carolina, probably wearing the Bill Belichick cutoff sweater and hoodie with Carolina on top. We've been talking Patriots, obviously. Brandon, thanks so much for your call, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. I won't make you do any math. I do want to say, Fitzy, we know deep down why you have to spend 3 hours at those kiosks and other guys have to spend 45. Let's not shy away from that.
Yes, I do
insulting
indeed.
Insulting the intelligence?
But, put my time my in, biggest, my guy.
Return button.
Where my biggest concern is, guys, I think the offense is going to be fine regardless of the coach. I think they'll make good moves in the offseason. There's good free agents. They have the money to spend. Where I'm just completely blown away and confused, you have Mayo drafted as a defensive player, won Super Bowls as a defensive player, played under Bill, worked under Bill. Why can this man not figure out how to establish a good defense to not put points up on the board? Brandon, like, where's that gap coming from?
Brandon, thanks for the call. So, Fitzy, I want to try
great
and
mystery
tie
of the season, KJ. Well, really.
I want to tie two shoelaces, and one of them is the Keon White. And John Lyons and I have discussed, I said, you know, seeing Keon White line up in the nose tackle position doesn't feel like that's what he was drafted for. I thought his best work was on the edge, and sure enough, a couple plays later, coming off the edge, he gets a clear path to Justin Herbert. And I said, maybe the frustration that Keon White is expressing has been where he's been lined up at sometimes. And even Wiggy alluded to it earlier on the Greg Hill show this morning. And so I think it goes towards the defensive coordinator, where I don't know if Derek Covington is back again next year, just because these defensive players, I don't believe, have taken to him in terms of what his scheme is and what his thoughts are based on what they were getting before. So he's probably had it tougher than anybody else. So because Belichick is the defensive guru, so now you're the guy that comes in and runs the defense. And if that doesn't look as well, even in these bad years, even in 2020, the defense was fine. The defense has been the biggest disappointment to me because I knew the offense would struggle.
100%. And listen, DeMarcus Covington, before last season when he was the defensive line coach, highly regarded, brought in to coach the defense, I believe, at the Senior Bowl. And people had even mentioned him potentially as like an up-and-coming young rising star head coaching candidate in the near to immediate future of the NFL, KJ. He has been given just as impossible a task this season as Gerard Mayo, as AVP, Elliot Wolf, or anybody involved in this operation right now that is faltering miserably. Yeah. He had to basically take over for a defense that was run by the greatest defensive head coach in the history of the league, his son, who was in charge, and then Gerard Mayo, who was an assistant to those two gentlemen. Now, he comes in, gets the spine of his defense, the three most impactful players possibly outside of Christian Gonzalez, ripped out by week two, or by four or five weeks in. Jabril Peppers with his legal issues, no Juwan Bentley after week one.
Right.
Basically no Barmore all season long,
right,
because he was preseason playing into shape before the unfortunate blood clot incident. And now he's being too aggressive at times, then he's not being aggressive enough at times. It's kind of an unwinnable scenario for DeMarcus Covington right now. And I hate to say it, but if there were any one guy who potentially could be a fall guy, given how there was such hype around the defense, which was so good last year without Judon because he went out in the Dallas game, without Christian Gonzalez because he went out for the season in the Dallas right. game, and there was no Marcus Jones last year, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly why these guys are all out of sorts, out of place, and they can't, like, they're seven straight scoring drives for the Chargers on Saturday.
290-yard-plus drives.
Stinks of something more than just
90 yards or more, right? Like, that's
correct, sir. Like, it stinks of something more than just we don't have the talent we need.
Adam in Framingham, thanks for calling KJ and Fitzy on WEEI. In for Jones and Keefe, happy holidays.
Happy holidays, guys. This is KJ. I thought your take was, like, a little off the wall. I want to defend those of us fans that are furious with the Patriots, right? So I feel like I don't bring the energy that you're talking about to the Red Sox. Like, John Henry doesn't get that grace from me. Like, the Sox are building something with young players, but they still haven't spent this offseason, and I'm pissed off about it. I look at the Patriots right now. They're drafting terribly year after year. This is, what, we had the 3 pick last year. You watch Washington go from a team that was worse than us last year, hire competent coaching, and now they might win 12 games. And if you're a Patriots fan and you have eyeballs, you can see that we're a rudderless ship. And we have the number one pick, a young quarterback, and cap space. And this is a huge moment for the ownership, and Robert in particular, to redefine his ownership post-Belichick. He needs to clean house, bring in somebody young and innovative with a new vision who can make the franchise starting this year. I feel like they can't blow this opportunity.
So, that's Adam, let me ask you this real quick. Yeah. What if a high-priced free agent says no, even if the Patriots offer the most money?
Well, there's nothing they can do about that. I mean, but there's more than, I mean, what, Higgins doesn't come here, so we can't build a winner? How about draft and normal? The drafts have been like a joke. And KJ, you say we're not supposed to be mad. Do you get pissed at the Red Sox? Or do you just think, oh, we won 4 World Series 10 years ago, so we can't get mad anymore?
No, because the Patriots have done something that you haven't seen in any sport, which has been dominant for 20 years. The Red Sox have not been dominant for 20 years. Do I get pissed at the Red Sox? Absolutely. I was up on the biggest hill, like, clowning Chaim Bloom for trying to turn this in, you know, trying to get, you know, a Dunk sausage biscuit price, you know, for Seaport steak. I had problems with that.
KJ, if I was watching the Patriots this year, just like any other fan, and Polk and Baker, whatever, out there making plays, right? And we're winning 3 games, and our young players, you know, the offensive linemen are showing promise. If we had the same record, there'd be a totally different vibe from the Patriots fans. But we're looking at this, and we're like, this is the second mediocre to crap draft. We have one guy, Drake May, and he's literally, thank God, he's unbelievable. Like, he's going to be the thing that keeps us afloat. But this is the year, man. Like, they've got a clean house. Mayo's clearly a boob. I mean, you know, come on.
because he didn't do the drafting. I mean, but thanks for the call, Adam. Like, I think if that's the case, then maybe we need to say, hey, Elliot Wolf, you're really the one under the gun. You're the one that signed a KJ Osborne, and KJ Osborne didn't he flamed out. Or you're Jalen Reagor, who's been kept over, and, you know, I think there's like 14 guys that received deals this year and are not here by the end of the year on a team that's won 3 games. You would figure, like, if you're not a good player, you might have a roster spot on a bad team. So, like, that's just what I'm saying. It's like, I understand your frustration with Mayo, but Mayo's just the figurehead, right? He's the guy that he's talking to the media. He's the one that's out there on the sidelines, but he's not the one buying the groceries.
No, he's not. But he definitely, as he lets us know each and every week, final word or final say supposedly comes through him. He's in touch with ownership, Wolf, the brass, player personnel development, etc., all the time.
So that sounds like company speak, does it not?
It does. It all sounds like company speak. And,
okay, then.
You know, it makes you wonder, though, what's gone on this year and how the draft results have performed so poorly. 2022, only Cole Strange is still on the roster from a draft of like 10 players. Egads. And also, yeah, they nailed Gonzo last year, and he fell into their laps, and Belichick almost traded that one away by futzing around with the Steelers and the Jets.
Right.
And the Commanders taking Emmanuel Forbes.
Trying to get an old lineman, right. Or the old line blockage, right.
I could re-legislate all of those drafts right now for hours on end because they're so frustrating. But it makes you wonder, how much were Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh involved in those drafts where they didn't yield the fruits that this team needed to start the rebuild that continues to be stalling out, KJ? And it sounds to me like with the way they treated the offensive line this year, what are they on their 19th different offensive line, 9 different starting offensive line combinations, most in the league. It's so inglorious. It makes you wonder exactly how they're going to go about personnel evaluation this offseason.
KJ and Fitzy, in for Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. We'll get to more of your calls, your text as well. And we're minutes away from Devon Godchild joining us here on Patriots Monday on WEEI.